Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trevor. The former block up has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Lemay Ferry. We are here till 3 o'clock. TJ and Bob will be here a little bit later. We'll have the coveted hour with Charlie and Martin coming up at 12 o'clock. We think we got a good program lined up for you today. Mike Jones, the author of The Greatest Tackle in Super Bowl History. I don't know if I can say it's the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history anymore, because I think that may actually belong to Malcolm Butler. But the greatest single tackle will go with the coach from St. Louis U High, the pride of Missouri, Mike Jones. He is in Atlanta, and we'll chat with Mike at about 10:30, working on some other guests for the 11 o'clock hour. Couple of things about the Schnucks. On Saturday, they are having quite a party. It's going to be something special. It's from 1 to 4. They're going to have liquor tastings, food samplings, Dogtown Pizza, Gus's Pretzels, and games for kids. So it is going to be something special. And I'm telling you, they have 75 employees here, and they're all working hard on this chilly Thursday morning. And Martin's going to love this place because they have one of the greatest alcohol selections I've ever seen. How about a big bucket of wings? And, of course, when we go to Schnucks, they usually service that Schnucks signature sausage. Their butchers grind the pork or beef in-store. They hand-mix it with spices using their signature recipe with over 12 varieties. And, of course, at Schnucks, the homemade donuts, the homemade gooey butter. I tell you, if you're looking for a Super Bowl party idea, look no further than Schnucks. And come on by and say hello, because we'll be here for a while. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Four things for sure in this world: death, taxes, lemon pepper garlic wings at Lester's, and the Billikens now have to win the conference tourney to get in. There is no scenario or excuse that allows them to get an at-large bid when you lose to 7-13 Richmond at home, or losing to Davidson at home, or losing three games in a row. You have to win the tourney. They can do that. I wouldn't bet on it, because there are plenty of teams just as good as them. And when you have four or five teams, well, your odds are like 20%. So you don't bet on them. Now, let me just say this right off the bat. I don't know if you're watching the game on Fox Sports Midwest with Danny Mac and Scott, but the no call at the end of the game on Javon Bess was absolutely the right call. Javon Bess took it to the rim, and the guy got all ball. He got all ball. There should not have been a foul called. Bess almost tied the game late with a second to play. I mean, I don't know if you saw it, but it was 1.2 seconds. And they're throwing the ball in underneath the basket. And Bess steals it at midcourt and somehow gets a shot up. And it almost goes in, which would have tied the game. Almost. But as Reggie Jackson once said, closeness only counts in throwing hand grenades and making love. Let me tell you, if you're the Bills too, you can't allow 84 points and expect to win. I mean, do you think you're winning shootouts with this Billiken team? Please. As Travis said before, he says, I think some of our guys forgot that the game started at 6 o'clock because they got killed in the first half offensively. You defend if you're the Billikens, and you play the game in the 60s if you want to win it. You're not winning 84-81 shootouts against most teams. Here's Travis after the game.
It was hard to get them out of rhythm. We just couldn't get enough consecutive stops to get the game where we needed it to be, so give them credit. Their big three just had a great night. We normally don't do that, but we're just not in a good spot right now. We've got to dig deep a little bit and kind of evaluate a few things and regroup and try to play better, but we're just not playing very well right now. We're not playing very smart at all. Making a lot of mistakes.
All right, lap two. Gateway Motorsports Park, opening monologue. Losing is like a virus. It's contagious. SLU lost at 8 p.m. last night. Mizzou lost at 9:30 p.m. last night. I never want to put the Cusimano guarantee against a local team, especially if it's a team where I really like the coach, like Conzo Martin, and they have so many wonderful St. Louis kids on the roster. I never want to say, oh, the Cusimano guarantee, they're going to lose. But I did say on TV, I don't have a good vibe about the Tigers on the road in the SEC, especially against an Auburn team that won the conference. They opened it up mid-second half with a trio of three-pointers. Here are the issues. An injured Mark Smith, one of the best shooters in the Midwest, didn't play. And you have guys like Torrance Watson who had a good first half at 10 points, who will be just fine, but not ready to be huge impact players in the SEC yet. You have Javon Pickett, who's been really good, but not a star in the SEC yet. You just don't have elite talent. You're completely different if you have that future NBA player, Jontay Porter. But he's gone, and I doubt if he's coming back next year. So what's the end result? Well, it's the worst beating that an SEC team has ever taken at Auburn. It's the worst beating that a Conzo Martin team has ever taken at Mizzou. And it's just a continuation of Mizzou not losing games in the SEC, but getting hammered. I guess it's five out of their six losses have been by double digits or more. And we continue with our losing is contagious theme because at about 10:20 last night, the Fighting Illini succumbed to Minnesota, 86-75. Now, they actually were competitive, and Minnesota is actually a fine team. Minnesota is 16-5 overall, and, you know, Illinois was within range the entire game. It's interesting because Illinois has this god-awful 6-15 record, but they're actually more competitive in their conference than Mizzou, where the games are closer. Illinois is 2-8, and Missouri's 1-6 in the conference. So I want to get your take on the local college basketball scene. SLU, Mizzou, Illinois. It was a lost Wednesday night in our region, no doubt about it. Lap three. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Bob Frederick, my former teammate at DeSmet and a lifelong friend, had a moment the other night, and I'm sure you've all seen it. It became just appointment Twitter watching. He got to watch Trent play his first NHL game. It will go down as one of the better St. Louis sports moments of 2019 so far. He fought Brendan Tanev. It was a hole in his face or a whole new face. You all saw it and heard about it. But I don't think you've seen this or heard this. They put a mic on Bob and, you know, his lovely bride, Gay. But they put the mic on Bob. So listen to how he sounded during the fight.
Get him, Trent! Here we go! Yeah, here we go! Here we go, baby!
Wow. That is priceless. That is priceless. And Bob is remaining in Boston. He's not getting a lot of work done at Frederick Roofing, I'll tell you that. He's enjoying it, and he should be enjoying it, because the Boston Bruins are in action tonight. They host the Flyers, 6 o'clock. I wonder how many players have ever begun their careers with fights in their first two games. All right, lap four. Cardinals Hall of Fame ballot released. It's the one that Martin and I put together. Oh, actually, we got some help from Hall of Famers, Tony La Russa, Whitey Herzog, Rick Hummel, and some other great baseball minds. So here we go. Keith Hernandez, Jason Isringhausen, Matt Morris, Edgar Renteria, Scott Rolen, and John Tudor. You'll pick two. Scott Rolen is going in. And either Izzy or Hernandez, I hate to go against the local guy, but I do think Jason Isringhausen is going to be in the St. Louis Baseball Cardo Hall of Fame before long. But I think Hernandez is going in first. Izzy the following season. Rolen has to be there. Best fielding third baseman since Brooks Robinson. And before he got hurt, how about that 2004 slash line? 314, 409, 598. 34 homers, 124 RBIs. With that defense. Keith, 10 seasons with the Cardinals, 6 straight gold gloves. Arguably the best fielding first baseman ever. I mean, who is better? Better than Steve Garvey? Better than Wes Parker? Better than Eddie Murray? There's never been a first baseman like Keith Hernandez, has there? Co-MVP. And I love this stat, too. 385 career on base. Do you realize that only 4 Cardinals have ever had a higher career on-base percentage than Keith Hernandez? He drew his walks. So what do you think? Your thoughts. If you had to take two, who do you take? I thought Tommy Herr would be on the ballot, too, if Renteria got on. It's kind of interesting that Whitey and Tony, during the meeting, they were arguing for their glue guys. They're just winning ball players. I think you could make the case, as good as Edgar was, that Tommy Herr was every bit as valuable. Thoughts? Come on aboard. All right, lap five. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. We are so connected to this Super Bowl, aren't we, in St. Louis? 19 years ago yesterday, the victory in Super Bowl 34 in Atlanta, where Super Bowl 53 will be played Sunday. We have a Rams-Patriots matchup 17 years ago, the second biggest upset in Super Bowl history. Rams were 14-point favorites in that. Every time I see that ending, too, if you watch it a little bit longer, there's that scene of Mike Martz lifting some type of rope to get off the freaking field, and you know he just wanted to get the heck out of there. Do you remember that story that after that Super Bowl II, that Martz and his wife had planned a vacation to Miami. No, not Miami, Hawaii. And he couldn't take it. He left the vacation early. Boy, you talk about never being able to get over a loss. Yeah. He'll never get over that. But him lifting that rope and getting off the field with the confetti, you know, just sprawling down all over. And of all the people that were affected by that moment, I think Martz had it the worst. You know, it's tougher to fire a Super Bowl winning coach and likely easier to get another job when you are fired. I mean, think about that. The guy's 20 games over 500. And think of all the bums that get second chances. And Mike Martz never got a second chance to be a head coach. So Bob Wallace, a president with the Rams, and a dignified, classy gentleman in kind of a shady front office. And he had a wonderful career in professional sports. The Eagles, the Cardinals, the Rams. He was in studio yesterday, and Martin asked him, what, if anything, changes if the Rams had beaten New England in that Super Bowl in 02?
I'm not sure it changes it once Stan owns the team. I mean, I think we would have had a longer period of success. But, you know, football is secular. So, you know, guys get old. You know, Marshall's knees didn't hold up. Kurt broke his hand. You know, so those type of things happen. Would we have had more success? I think so for a while. Because I thought Mike was a great coach Monday through Saturday. I mean, there was nobody who motivated the team as well as he did. He had, as I said, a special group of guys that were really very, very smart. He challenged them. It's sort of like what, you know, the Patriots do. I've been reading a lot about the Patriots in the last couple of days because my son works for the Dolphins, and they've just hired their defensive coordinator, I guess, is going to be there. And kind of the way they do things, and they present them with a different game plan every week, and they teach them different ways. And Mike did that with his guys. I mean, he had, you know, Marshall and Isaac and, you know, Kurt were all smart football players, and he challenged them every week, and I thought that kept them really sharp.
I noticed how he phrased it Monday through Saturday. Actually, he was pretty good Sunday, too. Now, he had off Sundays, just like every great coach has off Sundays. I mean, you got to remember, Bill Belichick had an off Sunday in a Super Bowl when he decided to punish Malcolm Butler, and we saw what Nick Foles did. I mean, there's plenty of coaches that have off Sundays, and believe me, Martz had an off Sunday on Super Bowl Sunday 2002. But I kind of like the way he coached. And if you have a coach who's 20 games over 500, who built the greatest show on turf, and please don't forget that. He wasn't handed the keys to a Cadillac. He built the engine, all right? He built the engine. Because if he doesn't show up, and Dick Vermeil's still the coach, and Jerry Rome's his offensive coordinator, and Dick Corey's his wide receiver coach, there's no Super Bowl, okay? It was Martz who came in, and he, you know, they realized right away Tony Banks was not going to make it. He had to do something about the quarterback spot. So Martz insisted on Trent Green, who he'd worked with in Washington. And then he helped to make Kurt Warner a Hall of Famer. He helped to make Mark Bulger a Pro Bowl quarterback. Thoughts, come on aboard. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. The other day we brought this up about greatest athletes in St. Louis history. And we really got some great names, including one from one of our texters about A.J. Epinesa, who's, you know, maybe the best defensive lineman in the Big Ten right now, averaged 22 in basketball and set, like, national records throwing the discus. So he was really good. One we didn't get to is Taylor Twellman. And some of my St. Louis U High friends have brought this up, including Mr. Wehner, the former great athletic director at St. Louis U High. But Taylor Twellman, in addition to being arguably one of the greatest soccer players in the history of our town, just a flat-out goal scorer, do you realize that he actually kicked field goals for St. Louis U High's football team? He was a point guard of the basketball team. I don't know if he played his senior year, but he was a good player. And then he was a fine baseball player, too. So he belongs in there. Frank's Food Picks. This week we were at Carl's Drive-In, just a few minutes away from the station there on Manchester Road. And wow, it's amazing that a St. Louis institution can only seat 16 people. It's amazing that a landmark restaurant is under 1,000 square feet. It's amazing that they don't really spice up the burgers. They just get the finest meat, put it on the grill. They cook it for 1 minute on one side and then 30 seconds on the other. And then they mix it all together. And then, of course, you get that big whopping glass of IBC root beer. Man, that is good living. That is really good living. All right, so those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. The lost night in college basketball, the Cardinals Hall of Fame, how things may have been different if the Rams would have won the 2002 Super Bowl. But I think Bob's right. Kroenke would have made it happen. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with a Rams hero, Mike.